This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Did you hear what Rosenberg said?
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds.
That's right.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to ENN. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I'm not a circus guy.
I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
Wings are appetizers.
Oh, that lives for... That's a two-seed.
I'd also like to say good evening to Michael again.
Start it off.
And good evening to myself. I speak well. My body's in shambles.
Also, before the break, brilliant save by Michael.
What'd I do?
You said Chris instead of Peter, and you saved it by saying Chris will be listening to ENN.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I did. Thank you. We've worked together too long.
Wait, what happened?
I was going to say Chris is doing ENN, and in the middle of the sentence I said, no, idiot, he's not. And then I just turned it into a brilliant promo.
Yeah. Which,
and Don noticed.
Flawless.
Well, there's a reason. There's a reason he's thought of the way he is in certain circles. Not in all circles.
There's also something that you should know. Don knows me better than anybody.
Is that true?
I mean, professionally.
Yes, professionally.
You wouldn't call him your best friend, though.
No. I'd call Jody my best friend.
Right.
Which is wrong.
What does she say about that?
She thinks I'm her best friend.
I'd like to ask that.
All right, we'll get her on next week.
Aren't you away?
No, you're going to call her during ENN?
Well, we called Ballard yesterday.
Well,
how much worse can it get?
You know what? I don't even want to do this anymore. And now it's become a term that you use regularly on the show, borderline Ballard.
There you go.
I think he should be honored.
Borderline Ballard. Wow. That's just tough stuff. All right, guys.
You know, what really hurt me earlier in the show when you said Mindy's down on me, that's tough.
Jeez. I couldn't even quite.
Wow.
Couldn't quite get her back there. She was. I'm not saying she's gone, but might take her time.
Mm-hmm. Supported a guy who carried one state and doesn't like me.
I like that you hold that over her head. I mean, it's crazy.
You don't forget stuff like that.
The Packers say they are still committed to Aaron Rodgers. We've been working through this for a little while now, and I just think it may take some time, but he's a guy that kind of makes things go. He gives us the best chance to win, and we're going to work towards that end. That's from the GM. I feel like you should have thought about this, though.
Well, see, Mike Tannenbaum made a good point about you go there with the notebook and you talk to him. What can we do to make it better? It sounds like the damage is done, doesn't it, Peter? Like, you should have thought of that, you know, 8 years ago when you were drafting defenders instead of weapons. God, it feels like his anger is not rooted in anything, some misunderstanding. This is accumulated. Sorry doesn't fix the lamp at this point.
I was going to say, this feels like a Michael K. sorry doesn't fix the lamp situation. And that's unfortunate. Let's hear from Chris Mortensen. Mort, Packers are open to the possibility of trading Rodgers, according to Mortensen.
I have had league sources say that the Packers have not received any phone calls on Rodgers yet, but that they are open now to the reality that they may have to trade Aaron Rodgers. Could that be tonight? Could it be after the draft? It's certainly a possibility. I've been told AFC team is more likely. Remember, they traded Brett Favre once, but not to the NFC, the AFC. That was the Jets. And in this case, I think you'd have to look at the AFC West with the Raiders or the Broncos, and Raiders are telling me they don't have the money. Broncos have $24 million under the cap.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's Lewis Riddick earlier on with Bart and Hahn saying Aaron Rodgers deserves better from the Packers.
I don't believe that Green Bay did him wrong in this regard in terms of planning for the future with Jordan Love, because they did it with Brett when they drafted Aaron. He understands that. I think the problem is, though, again, it's with the communication aspect of it. And I think all of us could understand that nothing is forever. You would just like for people to be honest and upfront about it and not have you find out about it on TV, especially if you've done as much as he has done for that organization in his time there.
You know what I don't understand? I understand, like, drafting a quarterback to eventually be the replacement. But why draft Love last year when if you took care of Rodgers, he's got at least 6 years left. 5-6 years. What are you doing? And Jordan Love is not that highly regarded that you had to have him. But I guess they did that with Favre. How long, Don, did Rodgers stay behind Favre? 4 years?
Yeah. Well, but here's what they were probably thinking. Because according to Schefter, this has been going on a long time, right? And he's got the opt-out at the end of 2021.
Right.
So they were probably thinking, this guy's going to opt out on us, and we're going to need a quarterback. We like Love. We're going to take him. Now, as far as letting him know about it, maybe they just knew, hey, I can let Rodgers know, and all he's going to do is try to talk us out of it because he's not going to be happy with it, so we're just not going to tell him. And maybe they felt like the damage had already been done, and he'd be an idiot to walk away from a championship-caliber team when he can walk away at the end of 2021. But now, I guess Rodgers has called their bluff and is claiming he's not going to play this year. So we'll see who blinks.
Well, I think that what upset Rodgers more than the fact that he wasn't warned is that you have a team that's close to being a Super Bowl team and you trade up and use draft capital to get the replacement for Rodgers that he might not play for 3 years. So Rodgers wanted the immediacy of get me somebody now in the first round that would help us be a better team. And they didn't do that. They kept planning for the future rather than winning a Super Bowl that year.
Now, and I get why that's insulting when planning for the future doesn't do anything for you.
Right.
And
now what if Love
there?
Turns out to be the next Aaron Rodgers? Then you'll know why they did what they did. Right?
I mean, that's a gigantic if. But, I mean, who would have believed that Rodgers would turn out to be Rodgers after Favre? I don't know. Couldn't this also just be a money issue?
Nah. That team has more money than any team because they're not owned by anybody. They're just owned by the public. They don't distribute funds. All the money goes right back into the team.
So it's not possible he just wants his last contract done a certain way and he wants it done and they're hesitating and so he's playing the ultimate.
I don't think it's money. That would shock me. Shining Wizards Kevin probably says it best. He said the lamp in Green Bay is so broken it's borderline Ballard.
There you go.
You're starting to like it.
Well, the drop is good. It actually serves quite a purpose. You know, and if it does well, you know, he could go from what was obviously an abject disaster. I'm not going to fight it.
It's now burnished his reputation even more.
Well, the question is, was it all worth it for the drop? And knowing this show, probably.
Yes.
Now, Ballard did make one, I think, fair point. Fair point. What did they expect from me? Like, when you heard I brought Ballard...
question?
Don, that's fair. An answer to a question is fair.
I really was shocked. He lost me. I just... Be a fan. Who's to blame? And he broke that down.
That was a tough part right there.
No, you said, well, you could tell Ballard with his good question. We didn't expect Bob Costas, okay? But we also didn't expect somebody who really had a tough time getting words out. That's all. Nobody expects Bob Costas out of a civilian. They don't expect Bob Costas out of us, and we get paid for this.
And it's
how's Ballard Wallard? Is he feeling badly today?
Because it's interesting because Ballard's a great talker. He works in PR. He's a great talker and very charming.
I've got to hire him for my own personal PR.
No,
I think he would do a terrific job.
He does. He crushes it for people.
He wanted to be so on point. It just took a little long.
But I think he was measuring everything for no reason. Nobody was listening to him. He could have said anything outrageous.
Because he's a passionate fan, so just be passionate.
It was an abject disaster.
All right. You made that point, Mike.
Now, the betting market surged yesterday right before the Trey Lance pick. In the hours leading up to the draft, he had started out as he was as high as a 15-1 underdog to be taken third. But the odds improved and improved, and then the betting market was proven correct when he was the third pick overall. So, I mean, doesn't that just mean someone told someone? It's just out. Did you guys also notice yesterday when the pick for Mac Jones appeared to get revealed before it came in?
No, I didn't notice that.
No.
Yeah, the Jets picked before the Patriots, right? Was it Jets then Patriots?
Jets yes.
No.
Jets were 13.
The Jets,
Patriots were 15.
No, the Jets were 14.
No, the Jets were 14. So the Jets graphic was still up on the screen, and it just said Mac Jones next to the Jets. It was a very strange moment. Speaking of the Jets,
one thing about Mac Jones, if I was going to show up at the draft, I'd have to be guaranteed I'm taking the first 10 picks. So, you got to tell me. Otherwise, I'm going to sit home. Because he sat there like a lost soul.
Was that why he was walking like a nozzle?
Maybe that's how he walks.
What about Rousseau? He was taken like 30th. Oh, he was there all night.
Rodgers was that guy.
Have you seen the pictures of Mac Jones without a shirt?
Oh, not what you want.
It makes me feel like I could be in the NFL right now.
Well, everybody tells me that was 2 years ago, that he's in much better shape now.
Guys, this is a rare Peter Rosenberg, lock it in. Do you have the lock? Do you have the lock sound over, Anthony? This is a lock it in Peter Rosenberg guarantee.
Okay.
Everyone in the sound of my voice, unless you're a Patriots fan, is going to despise Mac Jones. Lock it in. Despise. The swagger came off of him. I was like, I hate this guy.
I hate you.
I'm rooting against him.
Is this like a Grayson Allen level?
You're very, very ugly.
Well, was it like Christian Leitner, like way
no,
up there?
No, neither, because both of them earned it by being dirtbags on the field.
You're arrogant and ugly, and you can't understand anything.
Now,
I understand this take. I mean, he seemed like a delightful guy.
No, he didn't. He seemed like a nozzle. Trust me, I got a lot of tweets from people who understood it. They saw it. They felt it. But then I will say, you know, as a guy who watches most of my college football during draft night highlights, I will say from the quarterbacks that were picked yesterday, and maybe including Lawrence, his highlight package was the most impressive. So he's probably going to be good.
Yeah, look who he's throwing to.
Yeah, I mean, fine. That's fair, too.
You know what I like, too? When the guy who won the Heisman Trophy, Devontae Smith.
Devontae.
He gets picked, right? And he just bolted out of
No, that was Jalen Waddle.
Oh, that was Jalen Waddle. So Devontae Smith is walking toward the stage, and you could see Mac Jones comes out of his cubicle to congratulate him and blew him off. Just blew him off.
Oh, well, I wasn't referring to that. I was referring to when Waddle got drafted.
And
apparently what happened was he'd already received the phone call and hugged his family.
Oh, okay.
But the way it appeared on television, Don, did you see it?
No.
What it appeared like on television was Waddle, they announced his name. He's sitting in a room full of his family. He stands up and walks out. It was the craziest. It looked as if he said, bleep you guys, I'm getting a new family. I mean, he just walked right out the door.
Can I tell you something that I'm ashamed of?
Go ahead.
I loved it. It
of course
was awesome.
Of course you did.
He's leaving those people behind. He's moving on.
Well, the Panthers are keeping Sam Darnold at least through 2022. They've picked up his $18.8 million option.
Isn't it amazing? That must make him feel so good. They waited until they decided not to draft a quarterback to do it. So they really have faith in him.
No, that's how you took it?
Of course.
No.
I think.
Of course.
No.
You are such a glass half empty guy.
No,
that's exactly why they did that.
I said it yesterday. They're not going to give him the fifth year option until after the draft to get everybody thinking they're going to take a quarterback so they can make a deal.
No.
Oh.
I don't think it was that. Unless they told him that on the side. But I think they were waiting to see if one of the quarterbacks that they love dropped to them.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I really believe that. Yes.
Absolutely not.
Couldn't be more wrong.
No.
Real quick, this is a terrible and depressive take by Michael Kay. Don, it goes back to my theory. Michael is more successful than you. You are happier than him. This is such a negative take. First of all, Sam's career in New York was one shade better than Ballard's phone call, and he just got an $18.8 million extension.
I get it.
How bad do you feel?
If they didn't pick a quarterback. By the way, this is the team that gave Teddy Bridgewater $66 million and cut him after 1 year. So please, relax. I'm right on this. You're wrong.
$19 million
to see if they got a quarterback.
$19 million for a guy who everyone has – the jury's completely out on whether or not he's
according
good.
To Don. Don thinks he's great.
No, Don and I'm with Don in that I believe he still could be great. But even Sam knows he hasn't proved that on the field yet.
No, but I think with Bridgewater being traded away, they're going to take their chance on Sam. But there's enough people out there that are like, well, I don't believe in Sam. Look how bad he was. That they might still take a quarterback at 8. So they don't give him the fifth-year option to get everybody thinking they're going to take a quarterback, and then New England should have made a phone call with them or anybody else to just try to make a deal, make them think that they're going to be able to take a quarterback. We've got to now trade to be able to make that happen. And then once that wasn't going to happen, give him the fifth-year option.
Well, listen, I have breaking news, guys. We reported earlier that I'm mixing two stories.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, sorry. Well, they're very similar stories. They're about injured basketball players. But this one is about Kevin Durant. Steve Nash.
There you go.
Yeah, I understand. Steve Nash said that Kevin Durant wanted to play tonight, but that Nash had to be the Grinch and shut it down.
And yesterday, last night, Kyrie didn't play. Groin issue.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Still one going away.
Well, of course. I mean, that's just what they do. Speaking of NBA injuries, while I'm here, we'll get back to the draft in a second. LeBron James now listed as questionable for tonight's game. So could we see the return of the Condor? I know you'd be happy, Michael.
Also, the Condor, I was reading, has a new tattoo with the big three on it.
Bird, Parrish, McHale?
No. His big three.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
That's what it said. That's what I read.
Does that make
Get over it. That's over now.
Are they wearing jerseys in it?
I wasn't there. I wasn't there at the Ink Palace.
You know what the weirdest part of the tattoo is?
What's that?
The three of them are sitting next to a woman who's wearing a Mark Sanchez jersey. It's a very weird, so strange tat. Alabama ended up having 6 first-round selections, tying Miami's record from 2004.
Well, it's a pro organization.
Well, listen, my team drafted from a school that when you think I want a big-time football player and I'm talking SEC, you know what school I'm going to. Kentucky, baby. I had some pause there. Don, I never get excited about a linebacker draft pick. Is that bad?
Well, I guess you never heard of LT.
That's okay.
Or
that's
our friend Carl Banks.
Okay, we're going back 40 years here, guys. 40. But in general now, I feel like linebackers are simultaneously important, but they're like running backs. Like they also can't make your team.
What an outrageous take.
Listen, I had London Fletcher for year after year getting 110 tackles. We stunk. LeVar Arrington, great, stunk.
No, it's been a while since the best defensive player in the NFL has been a linebacker, right?
See, I'm not making things up, Don. It's real life. You know what happened on this day back in 1998?
Rebound, New York! And fists are flying at the other end. Larry Johnson is one of them.
Here we go.
Oakley and Mourning have at each other.
And both of those guys will not play in Game 5. I guarantee you that.
Van Gundy out.
I don't know if it was Oakley. I couldn't see.
I saw Johnson throwing punches.
I think it was Larry Johnson.
Quite possibly the fight of the cinch between the Heat and the Knicks, April 30th, 1998.
Well, I mean, the best part of that is Van Gundy hanging off Alonzo Mourning's leg.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's a forever moment.
They would get their revenge the next year, though.
They absolutely would. Let's end this show with a hot take. Can we hear Paul Feinbaum saying Bill Belichick's slipping?
I see a coach who was a perfectionist, who did everything right all those years, who was untouchable, and I see him getting lazy late in his career. I see him making moves that don't remind me of Bill Belichick. And everybody wants to compare Bill Belichick and Nick Saban. There's a difference. Nick Saban has never changed. The money, the championships, he's still the same guy he was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Bill Belichick's not.
Paul Feinbaum on KJZ. That'll do it for ENN on this Friday evening.
All right, we're back Monday. We'll talk Mets, Yankees, and we'll have a complete encapsulation of the entire draft. In the words of Billy Joel, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. I'm afraid it's time for goodbye again. See you, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.